home building and remodeling show. Let's go! Welcome everybody to the home building and remodeling show. My name is Chris Kirby and I'll be your host. I am the owner of three construction companies on the Alabama Gulf Coast. The show is about residential construction. We're going to cover topics of home building and remodeling. Are you thinking of doing a remodel or building a home? Are you a contractor looking to improve your knowledge base or grow your business? Have you ever done a remodel project or built a home? There were so many things you wish you knew or that you could have done differently during the process. Then this show is for you. We break down the process of building and remodeling and how to have the best results during your project. Whether you're a DIYer looking for tips, someone looking to hire a contractor to do a project, or a contractor looking to expand your knowledge base or your business. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Stay tuned. We kick off the show with my thoughts on home building and remodeling. I'll share best practices and talk about some of our experiences in business and out in the field. These shared thoughts and lessons learned are meant to help you on your very own journey. Let's go.
Hey everybody, it's Tile Month on the Home Building and Remodeling Show. So this month we wanted to kick it off with the five key relationships that you should have as a tile contractor. And what I'm trying to do here is just help you improve your business, your contracting company. If you're just starting out, these are good tips and valuable advice coming from somebody who has run multiple construction companies. And this is just some of the things that I recommend and that our team recommends that you do to either launch or grow your tile installation business. And so the number one thing to do is to bind those valuable relationships that you can nurture and people that you need to meet to be able to grow your business, to gain business, and to have partners. And I say partners because a lot of these relationships are partnerships, because the more you help them, the more you connect with them, the more they'll help you and connect with you. And it's just a good way to do business. So the number one relationship that I've outlined is your supplier or the manufacturer. So for us, we've got a good relationship with our vendors. And the reason being is that's where we get our materials. That's where we get the new products that are coming out. And the more that we enhance and nurture those relationships, the better access that we have to new products, to setting materials, discounted prices on things. And as a contractor, it's great to get a contractor's price because it's going to be cheaper for you to develop those vendor relationships and get the contractor price, save yourself some money while still being able to charge the client, give the client a good deal. And the better prices you can get, the better prices you can offer, the more competitive you are. And not only that, but the suppliers and manufacturers, knowing your product and which product and materials that you like is invaluable. So you're going to be able to get what you want when you need it, and you're going to be able to establish those connections to have access to better products, more products, better quality, better prices. So suppliers and vendors is that number one relationship. Plus, as they get to know you, they're going to refer business to you. And in one day, if you want to open up your own tile or tile and flooring store, those relationships are going to be crucial to having the product that you need and getting the discounts that you want so you can offer your clients better pricing. Number two, this one is huge, huge, huge. The interior designers, man, those relationships with our interior designers, and we own our own interior design company, but even before then, interior designers were our friends.
And now we move into Shop Talk. It's the portion of the show where I bring in a co-host and we cover trending topics in home building and remodeling. Hope you enjoy. Let's go.
Welcome back, everybody. I got Adam here with me, and we are talking tile this month from the contractor's perspective. May is tile month, and we started off this month with some basic tool videos, tile tools you're going to need to do tile work. And Adam, was gracious enough to talk about all the different types of tools. We brought out some cool tools. One of our guys, Jeremiah, had a pretty nice tile cutter. That was the first time I've ever seen that tile cutter.
Yeah, he's got all the stuff of like when I was talking about nips, tile nips and everything.
Yeah.
He was just tired of running back and forth to his truck because he had him.
Yeah. Well, dude, I was surprised though that the actual, when he cut that small piece with that slide cutter, I was impressed. You know what I mean? But what we also noticed that that thicker tile, you know, Justin tried to,
right.
He brought over that thick piece and it really didn't snap it well.
Yeah, because it's only scoring just the top edge. So the thicker the tile is, you know what I mean?
So let's talk about it though, man. The reason that we kick off all of our trainings every month with tools, right? And then we go into materials is how important is it as a contractor, and especially you know, I was rarely out in the field, man, just a little bit, but you spent a lot of time out in the field from framing to trim carpentry to tile installation, cabinets, all this different stuff. How important is it as a contractor, even for the DIYers out there listening, to have good tools or have the right tools?
The right, I mean, it's key to success, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Having the right tools makes your work better, and it makes the job so much easier too. You got to invest.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to
invest. Well, and especially with tile, right? Because it's becoming more of a, I mean, look,
right.
These are craftsmen and women out here installing this stuff. And I call it the pretty works, just like paint. Dude, the client is going to eat you alive if that tile doesn't look right.
Right.
And they're going to ask questions, right? And they're going to YouTube and all this stuff. But it starts with not just knowledge, but your tools, how you do it. So talk to us about some of this stuff. So one of the more important things I noticed, we had Justin installing some subway tile out at one of our new home builds.
Mm-hmm.
And I questioned him because he wasn't using a laser level, right? And I'm like, man, that's kind of one of the most basic things. But he was able to do it. He ran his first row out and then he kept checking level as it went, right? So how important is it to keep level?
Very, very important.
Yeah.
It's probably the most important thing setting tile is keeping everything level.
So how do you do that then? What separates people that just go in and slap the stuff in from somebody that's taking their time and getting it right?
Well, you can see it in their work. So you can look at the back of a shower wall and see somebody that kept it level and somebody that didn't by the size of the tile grow or get smaller on the ends.
So usually if you're walking in, so let's just say you were going to inspect one of our tile jobs. When you're walking in, what are you doing? How are you analyzing whether or not our team did a good job on a shower or a floor? What are you doing? How are you inspecting that work?
I'm starting off the placement of the grout line. So their layout means a lot. Making sure it's not broke up in little pieces near like the top of a pony wall.
I can't stand that.
Or
those little baby slivers. Yep.
Especially when you're using a small format tile.
Yeah.
It matters the most because, if you have a quarter inch slither next to something, it does not look good at all.
Right. And then if the client, which these days it's not that much, but if they want a thicker grout line and you've got a little sliver in these thick, I mean, it doesn't look good.
This is, you know, just an adjustment to your layout before you start. Sometimes you can't get away with, sometimes you're going to have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you lay it out correctly, you can hide it somewhere that's not.
Right. Absolutely. And that's kind of, we've run into that. We've actually ripped out walls before to fix it and make it right or lay it out differently. And look, it costs time and money, but ultimately the product, the quality of work that you put out is your reputation. And, you know, for us, so we talked about it being level and things. You're going to walk in and you're going to eyeball it. I usually look at the corners. I look at the niches or if there's a window. In that case, we had a niche and a window, right? And it was subway tile, which is a, you know, 3x6, a smaller tile. And I got on to our guy. I got on to him because he went in there and just kind of ran out that bottom row and didn't make adjustments. And I was arguing with him that he should have, you know, established a center line, ran it out and cut even on both sides. But he was right. I was wrong, because I think the second crew that went in did that.
Right.
And had little chips and little pieces. And so sometimes that's where that knowledge piece comes in.
Right.
Though, man, is he knew better than I did. And it actually turned out the one he did without using the laser, without finding that center line, turned out, you know, it turned out looked pretty good. But it was a layout thing. He did take his time, and I did a video on it, but he went into the living room. Laid it out on the floor. I know some people might think that's it's wasting time. I've done this 100 times, yada, yada.
Right.
But it proved valid in this, and he didn't use a laser. One of the reasons, though, he said he typically would, but because he was doing the tub hop-up, he didn't use the laser because he's saying that it kind of cuts. If he's in front of it because he's sitting in the tub setting the tile, you can't see it anyway. The laser shot it's hitting his back and cutting off the line. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's a matter of space too,
right,
that you can't always use that laser. So you're going to have to continuously check your level and things like that.
And, you know, sometimes the way it looks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see that if that tub's not quite level,
sure,
and you put a level run in there and it's growing right there at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that looks worse too.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of play with it a lot sometimes.
Gotcha. So you're saying that you got to give it an eyeball test.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, realistically, you do.
Yeah, exactly.
So that eyeball test sometimes, you know, from a client's perspective, especially, is going to tell the truth sometimes more than just getting it 100% accurate.
Right.
Where
because
the levels
it'll be level, but it don't look good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can fight with the customer and be like, well, look, it's perfectly level. This is your problem.
Right. And, but it looks,
it
looks terrible. I got you. Okay. So we're talking level, we're talking laser. What else? The slide cutter versus a wet saw. So let's talk about those two different scenarios. You know, my brother-in-law, Mark, always used a daggum slide cutter almost for everything. So what scenarios do you want to use? And you've got the side grinder as well. So what scenarios do you want to use? What tools when installing tile?
So slide cutter is handy to have inside the home right there next to you.
Yeah.
It speeds up process. Depends on some of the tiles, like those clay tiles, they do not.
That slide cutter, it doesn't break
good.
Well.
And it ridges, it's real.
You're not going to get a good clean line.
Right.
Okay.
So that's when wet saw comes in. Mitering tile, because, you know.
So you would rather use a wet saw when you're having to cut 45s or when you're, yeah?
Oh, no. Okay. Doubt. And, you know, I mean, that's more professional outside corner.
Yeah.
A good miter cut.
That's more professional.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then a grinder, you know, your regular grinder's handy to have if you got to do a little cutting inside as well. And it helps like do circles and stuff like that.
Okay. And then you showed off these, the suction cups, right? So is that going to be for more of your heavy, large format tile? Is that what those are used for? Or?
Yeah, you should use them on anything that you can fit a set on.
Oh, really?
Just for placement, and it's a lot cleaner. You know what I mean? Because when you put a 12 by 24 piece of tile on the wall.
And you're pressing, and you're not using
it. You're getting it all over you. It's just messy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's one thing in tile, man. That's, again, it's one of the finishings, right? Before you grout, you're checking your level, you're making sure it looks good. But when you're done, if your tile looks wonky, I mean, it's easy to tell when your tile is off. One of the things that make a difference for me, and the reason I look at corners and niches, is, man, it's hard to cut sometimes. And that's where I see those corners of niches, right? That's where I see the most mistakes.
Now we're going to move into the portion of the show where we talk interior design. We're going to bring in an interior designer and we're going to talk trending design and products. Hope you enjoy. Let's go. Welcome back, everybody. We have Courtney with us again, and she's one of our interior designers. May is going to be tile month for the Home Building and Remodeling Show. And so we're going to kick it off with the top five trends. I don't know if they're the top five, but five trends in tile design today. And then one of our audience members also had a question about timeless design. I guess they, if they want to remodel, they only want to do it once. So they're looking for a timeless look, classic look.
And timeless really, it transcends through many, many things depending on the person. But timeless generally means it's very monochromatic. And monochromatic just means tone on tone.
Okay.
When you start adding in color a lot of times is what people tend to think of when they think of dated periods. You grew up with when you were a kid. It was the turquoise and that mauve color.
Yeah.
We talked about this last time, cranberries and greens.
Yeah.
Well, you really can't date a cream or a white. It is timeless. So when I think of a timeless kitchen, I do think of something that's a little more tone on tone, a little more monochromatic. However, you can have fun with that too. So if you're doing a backsplash tile, most people think subway.
Yes, absolutely.
That's timeless. It is, but it's becoming so trendy that it's not going to become timeless again for quite some time after this trend blows over.
So trends tend to fade in and out is what I've noticed.
Yes.
Okay. Because when we first started 7 years ago on the remodeling side, we did a bathroom that was all subway from the floor to the shower. We did a clawfoot tub. They wanted a subway tile around it. And then really it's been spotty, but now recently we're doing more subway, but it's not just the classic white as well, right?
Right.
Okay.
It's a little bit more tonal and that it has some bright whites, a little ivory, and even a little bit richer of a color.
Okay.
You can also take what we consider a boring classic and elevate it. Do a chevron backsplash.
Gotcha.
It gives you a little more visual interest. It's adding in pattern, which pattern is a trend that we're seeing come to the market more and more. You can go for fun shapes. Go with an arabesque. It does not have to be your simple elongated tile, even if it's laid in a different pattern. But if you really want to keep it classic, it is about keeping it on that monochromatic side where it fluctuates with trends. You can elevate it with other things in the home. Your decor on the countertops can be color.
Sure.
You know, your artwork on the walls can be color. Basically, having a blank palette to work with keeps it classic.
Well, I've seen people that will do a lot of neutral, or they'll do the white cabinets and the subway tile. Maybe they'll use a darker grout, but also they'll have pops of color in their decorations that go on the countertops, or just something that's a little bit different. The island may be a different color, a pop of blue, or green, hunter green, or something like that, just to kind of
your
change
hardware
it up.
Even.
Yeah. So
I love hardware. So having fun with that is so simple and easy to switch out and change. So if you're like, you know what, I really like this at the moment. I'm not sure if I'm going to like it 5 years down the road.
Sure.
But you loved it for those 5 years.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
How hard is it to switch out?
Absolutely.
So yes, timeless, a little more tone on tone, classic lines.
Got it. Okay. So let's kick off Tile Month appropriately, and let's talk about the number one trend that you're seeing. And these may not be in order, but these are just five trends that
just
are popular.
Five trends that are popping up. I'll touch on one of the first ones that's the most prevalent is color.
Gotcha.
And I heard it referred today as dopamine colors. And I love that.
Dopamine.
Dopamine colors. Dopamine is what your body gets when it's happy.
Sure.
You know, when something good's happening, you're eating good food, you're having a great conversation.
So a Friday, not a Monday.
Today is
right?
Monday.
That's why. Exactly. Okay.
We're making a dopamine Monday.
That's okay.
So,
all right.
Color. Yeah. Lots of rich, saturated colors. Right now, people are really taking it upon themselves to live in their homes. So we did touch on classic. That's something that, you know, years down the road, you're going to sell. And it's really not going to be something trendy. But a lot of people are now saying, you know what, this is my home. I want to make it feel like me.
Yeah.
Not like what's just trending. So we're doing a lot of color saturation, a lot of color drenching, where your cabinets and green is a very prevalent color.
Sure.
Let's say there is a really soft sagey green. And then the backsplash is about 2 to 3 shades darker, but still in that green family.
Oh, so you're actually doing color on color. Okay.
Color.
In the same palette?
Same family. Same family. Okay.
You see that too with a lot of paint. You're taking and you're wrapping color all the way around the room, including the door, the frame, and across to the other side.
So you don't mean light gray and dark gray?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And
all right.
I love it because if you're on social media now and they have all these different outlets where people can reach out and talk to each other.
Sure.
Somebody says, well, I was going to do this gray floor with this gray countertop. The immediate reaction is no.
Thanks for joining us today. As always, we are grateful for our listeners and your continued support. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media via Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Get more info at our website, www.thehomebuildingshow.com. And as always, remember who we are, the Home Building and Remodeling Show.